us away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new. That day, gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all around, now the nations bow down to sing. The only sound is the praises to Christ our King. Slowly the names from the book are read. I know the King, there's no need to dread. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, it's a mansion prepared for me, where I can live with my Savior eternally. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb.
Thank you, Nick. Great singing. Let's stand together briefly, if we could, just for the scripture reading in honor of the Word of God. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. As I have mentioned, as you're turning, our theme this year is lift him up. We want to honor and glorify the Lord Christ and lift him up to this lost and dying world. And we want to lift him up in our lives. And we want to honor and glorify him. The verse that we have up there, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And as we get into 2015, or 2015, however you want to say it, we're doing a little series on lift him up. And so that's what we'll continue for a few weeks here. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, we'll read four verses here. And then we'll pray and I'll let you be seated. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" The Lord Jesus is saying. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless our few minutes we have together this morning. Lord, still our hearts, open our ears, and open our ears to hear what you have for us as we look about lifting you up in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, as I mentioned, our theme this year is Lift Him Up, and we're seeking to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ as a church and as individual Christians. Last week, we looked at lifting him up from a couple different angles. We looked at, really, in the church, we looked at what we lose when we don't lift him up and we're not a part of the church. And then we looked at what we gain when we do lift him up in the church. Church is a vital part of a Christian's life. It's not the only part. You need to have an individual walk with God, but that is an important part also, and we looked at that last week. The first week of the year, we looked at just lifting up Jesus Christ and why we have that theme and that we do want to lift him up to this world. This week, we're going to look a little more personally about lifting the Lord up individually. In the verses here, Jesus is really showing the difference between those who called him Lord and those who treated him as Lord. I have found that what people say is nothing more sometimes than just what we call lip service. We say something with our mouth just to say it, but the actions of our life say otherwise. Now, none of us are perfect. I get that. Do I live every single thing I preach? Not always. Pray for me, okay? I'm working on it. And by the way, neither do you. Before you get all hoity-toity, you know, I remember what I think J. Vernon McGee said. He said that if you knew me, and he was a preacher, he said, if you knew me like I knew me, you would not waste your time coming to listen to me. He said, but if I knew you like you knew you, I wouldn't waste my time preaching to you. Okay, so none of us are perfect there. But if we're going to be Christian, we need to match up what we say to the best we can to what to our actions. And some people are not good at that. We just like to throw words out there, and we're comforted by what we say. And Jesus said, hey, why are you going to call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I ask you to do? Words are worthless. Actions are priceless. In the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as Lord more often than he is referred to as Savior. The questions we must ask ourselves is this: do I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord? Now, most all of us would say this: yes, he is. Okay, that leads us to the next question. Is he my Lord? Not just is he the Lord. Not just is he God. Not just is he in charge of, is he in charge of everything in this world. The question is he my God? Is he in charge of my world? That's what we want to look at. It's not that we need to make Jesus Lord. He already is, regardless of what we think. So don't mess with me on semantics this morning, okay? You understand what I'm saying. Jesus is the Lord positionally because of who he is. But looking at our individual lives, are we allowing him to be the Lord practically in each and every one of our lives? He doesn't force himself on us. He allows us to make that choice. My question is, are you going to let him have that position? Are we allowing Jesus Christ to take the position of Lord in our life, or have we kept him from that throne? Oh, Jesus Christ is the Lord, and as he tries to sit on the throne of our life, it's like that seat's filled. And sometimes we even departmentalize it. It's like some areas you can be Lord of this area, Jesus, but this area over here, don't sit there. That's me. We need to allow him. gauges. You have gauges in a car sometimes that tell you how much gas you have left. By the way, if that little red light's on in your car, that's a picture of a gas tank. Ladies, that means you need to get gas. Seems like the girls in our house are really good. They like that light. They think it's like a decoration. Okay. Remember our car that one of my daughters totaled. Thank you. Our old Mercury. We had the Mercury. I got in the car one time. That tells you how many miles you have left until. I got in the car in front of our house and it said you had 1 mile. And guess what I found out 3 blocks later? It wasn't lying. Okay. And that was not a good phone call. I'm like, sister, you didn't think to fill the gas. It got worse from there. So I had to call for a ride. But there are gauges in your Christian life too. This is not the message, but think of these thoughts before we get into a couple points here. These gauges in your life that tell you if Jesus is really the Lord. How do you use your time? How do you use your time? How do you use your talents? You know, I love our choir. Our choir is great, except for this side right here by my ear. I don't know what's going on there, Jerry. But there are some of you out there, you could sing, and you're not up here. Now, I'm up here, but I don't stand up here for a reason, because that's a step up, and I can't sing, okay? I know it. I'm okay with it. How do you use your treasures? See, these are all guidelines that tell you really who's the Lord of your life. How do you use your thoughts? You think of God at all? Or once we leave church, now look, you know, once you leave church, you're worried about lunch. Can I just tell you something? When we leave church, I'm worried about lunch too. But I can think about God and worry about lunch at the same time. Are you with me? Okay, and then I'll thank God for the food so we got all the bases covered, all right? The use of our testimony. What's your testimony say about you before those who do not love the Lord, who don't know him? If Jesus is going to make an impact in my life, an impact in our church, an impact in your life, if we corporately and individually are going to lift him up, then we need to settle this and give him the position of Lord in our life. We're going to look at these verses we read earlier, and we're going to look at a set of indicators, two sets of indicators that will help us to understand if he is Lord of our life. We're going to look at the indicators that he is the Lord of my life, and then we're going to look at a couple indicators that may show us that he is not the Lord in my life. And so as we look at these this morning, I hope that you open your hearts and say, is there something in my life that God wants me to adjust so that Jesus Christ can, in actuality, not in words, be the Lord of my life? Look at number one, the key indicators that he is Lord of our life. How do we know that? Well, first of all, if we look at the verses, we know he's the Lord of our life if we come to him. He says in verse number 47, whosoever cometh to me. The reason this man in the first verse is a man who did come to the Lord and he did build his house the right way, but the reason he could build his house the right way and do the other things that we're going to talk about is that he first did come to the Lord for the right reasons. When he is Lord of our life, we bring to him everything that we have. In other words, we want him to be a part of our life. We just don't want him to be somebody that we sing about, somebody that we think about one day a week when we're here on Sundays. We want him to be somebody that we're coming to him on a regular basis, and he's a part of our life tomorrow when we go back to work, and Tuesday when we're at work, and Wednesday when we're out and we're at home and at work, Thursday, Friday, every day of the week. Saturday is the time when the church meets together, but can I just tell you something? You are a Christian 24 hours a day. And Jesus wants us to come to him, so he's a part of our life all the time. We need to be proactive about that. Let me ask you this. What is it in your life that is keeping us or keeping you from him? Look at turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Let's read these verses. I want you to read these verses, and I'm not going to dig into everything in these verses, but I do want to pull out a point from that that I think helps to illustrate what we're talking about here. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. Matthew 19:16. I encourage you, if you're new here, get yourself a Bible and bring it to church with you. Say, man, I can't afford a Bible. Talk to your Sunday school teacher. I'm sure he'll be more than glad to buy you one, okay? And don't let him get you one of those $5 cheap Bibles. Make sure he gets you something with leather and that lasts for years, okay? I'm sure your Sunday school teacher has all the money in the world, and he'd be more than glad to help you. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, it says, "And behold, one came to him and said, 'Good master, what things shall I do that I might have eternal life?'" That's the wrong question. You cannot do anything to have eternal life. It's trusting in Christ. "And he said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is no good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments.' And he saith, 'Which?' Jesus said, 'Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father, thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' The young man saith unto him, 'All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet?'" Jesus is really here going to point out the thing that's keeping him from getting saved or coming to Christ completely. "Jesus said unto him, 'If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." I don't think the point here is Jesus says we have to sell everything we have and give it away to get to heaven. I think the point is here, that was the God in his life. You see, when some people don't come to Christ, it's because they worship another god, I worship Buddha. And by the way, when someone becomes a Christian, they don't add Jesus to their belief in Buddha, all right? What they're saying is, I'm forsaking my belief in Buddha, and I'm putting all of my faith only in Jesus Christ. But I think this man here, his money was his god. And Jesus put his finger on that. That was more important to him in salvation. What is it in our life, by the way, and even after we're saved, there are certain areas of our life we just don't want to give up to God. You don't want to come to him and that. This is mine. Leave it alone. We put little boundaries up there. Put in a spiritual alarm system. Jesus doesn't get this. But when he's Lord of our life, we come to him open-handed. Jesus, you can have everything. So we come to him. What is another indicator that he's Lord of life? We hear from him. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings." It's not just the fact that words went into his ears. He desired to hear what was being said. His later actions would bear that out. We live in a world where there's so many voices that are reaching out to us for our time and our energy and our life. They're everywhere. Everything is clamoring for our attention. We are bombarded with ideas, philosophies, and teachings from every single angle of life. Whether you're turning on the radio. By the way, we must be careful for whoever we are hearing has our heart. By the way, Oprah Winfrey is not going to have my heart. Dr. Phil isn't going to have my heart. The guy on the radio isn't going to have my heart. Okay, I have a very short commute from the house to here, and I tell you often, and there's one of the sports guys, he does like a little 10-minute thing when I'm driving in, and sometimes he has leader. It's good stuff sometimes. Other times he gets off and I turn him off. I'm like, you're nuts. I ain't listening to that. You're not going to tell me how to live. But there's so many voices that come in, and we're affected by what we hear. Could be what you're watching on television, the movies you allow yourself to see. By the way, they're not just entertainment. Some of them are throwing stuff in there. They're trying to change your view of things. If you're watching something and they're trying to get you to cheer for something that's anti-biblical, you might want to just turn it off. Okay? You don't want to do that. The internet. You pick a subject. You'll find all these people on the internet that are for it, all these people on the internet that are against it. Who are you allowing to influence you? Who are you listening to? Social media. By the way, social media is not always innocent. We need to be very careful about that. You know, I wonder what my old friend is doing. I wonder what my old boyfriend is doing. It's none of your business what your old boyfriend is doing. Just be concerned about what you and your husband are doing. Okay? It's not innocent. You better be very, very careful about that. This isn't going over very well. Pray for me. Listen, a good person could get involved in anything if they're not careful about who they allow to influence them. Now, I'm not being negative here. I've been here at the church for 26 years. I've worked in the ministry for a while. I went to call. I have friends. I have people in the ministry I know. I know pastors, and I know good men that have done dumb things. And I don't think they planned on doing that. You know what I think happened? They allowed their ear to listen and get involved with the wrong things. And their heart followed. And they made tragic mistakes. Why don't we listen to the Lord? The things we read. We had to be very, very careful. This man went out, and we'll see in a minute, he went out and he was obedient because he had a heart that listened and really wanted to hear what the Lord was telling him to do. He wasn't just there to say, I put my time in, I heard Jesus' little message, and I'm going to go my own way. It's like, I'm here to hear something from God. I want to know what his word says. And so are we listening. If we hear from God, if we're allowing him and we want to hear, the next indicator that he is the Lord of our life is we submit to him. He said, and he heareth them and doeth them. That's the ultimate proof that he was really hearing what Jesus said. And by the way, that ought to be the motivation behind our hearing. You say, you know, I've come to church or I've been in Sunday school and sometimes I hear something and it kind of is going against the grain of my life. I don't like that. Let me explain something to you. I don't like it either. Are you with me? I don't like it, but guess what? I have to come to the point where, like, if it's what God wants and it's his word, I put what I want on hold and I submit to what God says. See, we are sinful beings. When we got saved, the Spirit of God lives inside of us. We have the power to go forward, but we still fight this flesh. And so our flesh isn't always going to like what's good for us. Okay? Now, over the year, when I was younger, I did not like vegetables at all. I thought vegetables were of the devil, and just that's what the Antichrist eats, okay? But over the years, I started eating them. I went to Bible college, and they served it. I'm going to start eating this stuff. Now, I think asparagus looks like a twig, and it's like, but they put it on my plate. I know it's good for me. I eat it. It's like if they throw it. Now, I'm not going to eat Brussels sprouts. I don't care what you say, okay? It ain't happening. Never. And listen, eggplant? How do you get eggplant? You bury an egg in the ground and you get a plant out of it? Okay, I think eggplant is a punishment. But there's a lot of vegetables I didn't used to eat, and I'll eat them now. I'll make, and they're okay, they're good. The way our kid, you know, the girls put butter and stuff. I don't know what they put on them. Salt, I'll down it. By the way, if you put gravy and mashed potatoes on anything, I'll eat it. Except for Brussels sprouts and eggplant. I ain't eaten that ever. Or fish. Seafood. Jesus ate seafood, but I'll never be like Jesus. I'll get as close as I can, but don't put fish in front of me. It ain't happening. But anyhow, we got to get back to the Bible here. I'm really off. Oh, submit. Yeah. Let's submit to the Lord. That is the proof that we are hearing. You know, Jesus' teaching isn't just like so you can hear a cute little thought. He teaches for life change. He teaches to help us, okay? And if we follow his word, we would be surprised what we could do. We would be surprised what God would do in our life. You know, I love it that Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, and he looked at him and said, hey, can I come? I want to walk on water. And Jesus said one word. He said, come. And Peter said, that's all I need. I'm out. Wham! Out on the water he walked. Man, he got enough power out of one word to walk on water. We got a whole Bible and we trip on the sidewalk, all right? God's word has power. And when we seek to live his word and make it a part of our life, you'd be surprised what God could do in our life. But we're hearing to hear something from God we can put into practice and work. So we submit to him. The next indicator is we're built upon him. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. His house was built right because it was based on what he heard. He had a strong foundation. If you base your life on God's word, that is a strong foundation. If I base my life on what some man tells me, that is a weak foundation. Now, if that man is pointing to me to a truth that is in the word of God, that's a strong foundation. And he built his foundation on a rock. Who is the rock? We know the rock and the foundation of our life should be the Lord Jesus Christ. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner. Ephesians 2:20. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are you building your life on? Are you building your life on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he says? Or are you building on something out here apart from God that's wood, hay, stubble? It's worthless. You know what? I don't know how many people, and I like sports, and I like football, and I hope the Seahawks win. Okay, pray for me, okay? My wife's from Washington, so it's all about her. You know, but it's a big deal. You know what? I'm not going to stand out there where they play, whatever the name of the field is. It changes every year. You know, and I'm not going to take my shirt off and paint my chest green. I think they are. I'm colorblind, so I struggle sometimes. And then put a big Seahawk on there. And if they lose, I'm not suicidal. Okay? Now, the boys and I in our house, because USC stinks right now, we like the Oregon Ducks on Monday. I thought for sure they were going to win. And it was a good excuse to get the guys together and eat pizza. And man, we were fired up about the Ducks. You know, it got real quiet real quick. Real quick. And I was critical of that coach. Like, that guy cannot. He got out-coached. By the way, I don't. You know, but my, you know what? I wasn't suicidal the next day. Hey, I rooted for Oregon. They didn't get the job done. People build their life on stuff like that. I mean, if their team loses, they can't think for a week. I was at work one time when I used to work in the warehouse, and one guy was a Raiders fan. That was the first struggle. The other guy was a 49ers fan, and they're just talking about their teams, and they almost got in a fist fight because of their teams. These men who had wives and children were willing to risk their jobs because they had a squabble about the Raiders and the 49ers, two of the worst teams ever born. I think they both should have just been fired for liking those teams. We build our life on stuff that's just not very important. The foundation of our life ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you build your life on anything else, you're destined to a life of despair, discouragement, and disappointment. Why don't we build our life on the Lord Jesus Christ? And then the last indicator here would be we stand through him. And when the floods arose, by the word, the key word there is when. It's not if the floods arose. Look, life in Jesus Christ is wonderful, but we still have things we got to face. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Those who make Jesus Christ Lord, allow him to be Lord, we'll face the storms that everybody else faces. We'll have the problems that everybody else faces, not the ones that are self-inflicted because of sin. I'm just talking about the course of life, but we'll be able to stand because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Trouble will come, problems will arise. You'll feel the storm just like the other guys. Look at some of these, the floods arose. You ever feel like you're drowning? You ever feel that life, everything's just pouring in on you? You know, people say sometimes how things go, man, I'm just trying to keep my head above water. You ever feel that way? I've been there. It's a fight to keep from sinking. The stream vehemently. You feel that constant pressure of the problems of life or what's going on, and it's relentless. And it's almost like Job. It seems to gain strength. You know, here comes some, Job, this happened, and there came also another. And this, and Job, there came also another. It's like, one guy was done, here comes the next problem. You ever feel like, you know, it's like, man, it just seems like one problem after another. By the way, our problems are not that big. You know, we got someone, I think Thursday, they stole the third row seat out of our new Suburban. The seat's missing. It's gone. Yeah, we looked on Craigslist. I have four of them. That's the guy that stole them. I ain't buying them from a guy from Craigslist, okay? Where'd you get this? Oh, I found it over on El Cedro. That's where I live. Who in their garage has a third row seat to a 2014 Suburban? What kind of nutcase is that? I need a gun. But anyhow, I'm like, you've got to be kidding. Now, I got to pay the deductible. I'll go through my insurance. Can I just tell you something? That is an irritation. That is not a problem. Okay? I just get a piece of rope, make the kids lay in the back, and, you know, tie them up. That's your seatbelt. Okay? You don't like it, quit whining. Man, I like the days back when you didn't have to do the seatbelts. You know, when I was a kid, you got in the station wagon with mom and you hung on for dear life. You know what I'm talking about? Man, you flew all over the place. That was half of the fun of driving with mom. I remember my grandfather throw us back in the pickup truck. And he didn't even watch to see if we were still there when he got to where we were going. Like, if you fall out, that's your fault. Anyhow, pray for me. My seat's gone. He said, it beat vehemently upon the house. Seems like sometimes the problems are the things in life. It threatens the things we value the most. We get concerned about it. But what's the result if we have Christ as our rock? I like the last part of the verse, and could not shake it. You know, we get frazzled sometimes. I wasn't happy when I heard our seat was gone. I want to pay $300 to get that thing replaced, but I have to. But that's not a problem, right? But when you have big problems in life, if you're founded on Jesus Christ, we grieve and we deal with it. We all have those emotions. But you know what? It doesn't shake our faith. I know over the years I've met people and some problem comes and I can tell their life wasn't founded on the rock and it shook them, you know. By the way, the worst thing you can do when you have a problem is to step away from the Lord. Well, I'm gonna take some time off of church. I got some things going in my life. That's the time we need to be together. That's the time where you need to come to church and someone can pray for you, someone give you a pat on the back and say, listen, we'll help you get through this thing. Okay? By the way, after church, can you pat my back? I missed that seat. Okay? We stop reading our Bibles. We stop doing the things that are going to give us the strength to get through this. Now, let me give you briefly a couple key indicators that he isn't the Lord of our life. I'll go through these quickly. First of all, we believe that obeying is optional. The next verse, here's the man that basically is a picture of a man that says, Lord, Lord, but he isn't Lord. But he that heareth and doeth not. He heard like the solid one. Only when he heard, he wasn't hearing with the ear that said, Lord, give me something I need. He was like, I'm going to listen to you, Lord, and if I agree with you, I'll do it, but if I don't, I don't have to. It's like cafeteria style. You know, you walk there and all the food's, you go to a buffet, you don't have to eat everything, Brother Chim. Actually, you're kind of skinny. You need to eat everything. But, you know, it's like, listen, hey, they have, by the way, when I'm at home and the girls throw asparagus out there or whatever, that's garbage, I'll eat it. But if I'm at a buffet, I'm not having asparagus. And by the way, I'm going to skip the salad. You people that go to buffets and eat salad, they make a profit on you. Shame on you. It's bad stewardship. I'm kidding. I like salads, but I ain't going to buffet for salad. Amen. Load up the meat and mashed potatoes and gravy. By the way, is bacon a vegetable? It should be, really. I'd eat my vegetables all the time. But you kind of pick and choose. If you don't like that, you don't have to have it. Can I just tell you something? The Word of God is not like that. It's not optional. The only option we have when it comes to the Word of God is this. Are we going to obey it or not? That's the only option. So we believe it's optional. 1 John 5:3, I love this verse. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. I love that. You see, Satan always tries to throw in your mind, if you're a Christian, you really sell out to God and you obey him, he's holding out on you. No, he's not. The only thing you're going to miss are the things in life that cause misery. Man, his commandments are fantastic. Serving the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Asparagus isn't, but the Lord is good. So we believe obeying is optional. Next, we build on our own blueprints. It's like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the rock. See, he thought, you know, hey, I know the Lord's blueprint, but seriously, that's a lot more effort to dig into the rock and do the foundation. I just kind of do my own thing. I don't need to build on his. Anything you buy, the people that create the product will give you an instruction manual, right? They have instruction manuals for everything. What is the instruction manual? Here's how you use it. Here's how you set it up. Here's how you maintain it. Here's how you take care of it. And here's how you get optimal performance out of it. And if you follow the instruction manual, the product will work to the best of its ability. Do you know God's given us an instruction manual for life? Now, I have 7 children. When they were born, none of them had like an instruction manual on their toe. Okay? You know, like, how do you, there's stuff coming out of this kid. It's different color. What's going on here? No instruction manual. But I found one. It's the Word of God. That's God's instruction manual. And God is the creator. You go to public college or public school, you're not being taught that, but the Bible's pretty clear about it. God's the creator. He knows how we're to run. And so we have to follow his blueprint. If we don't do that, he's not our Lord. What else is an indicator? We bear self-inflicted pain. Against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. I mean, it was quick. There was nothing short of it. It wasn't like, no. When the storm came, down it went. Why? There's no foundation. And the ruin of it was great. What caused the ruin of that house? It wasn't the storm. I'm telling you, it wasn't the storm. Because the guy in the verse before who did what Jesus said, he faced the same storm. His house stood. It wasn't the storm. It was the builder's fault. He didn't build on God's blueprint. He built on his own blueprint. Listen, when we get ruined in our life and we don't handle the problems of life, the problems of life, don't blame anybody else if things go bad. We have to look in the mirror and say, Lord, what am I doing? Where have I disobeyed you? I think if you're a Christian, life ought to be good. That doesn't mean you're prosperous and things never happen. I think you ought to just enjoy life. You ought to enjoy serving God. See, man, I'm a Christian. I'm not enjoying serving God. That's usually God's indicator you're not doing something right. Maybe we're disobedient in some area. We need to shore that area up. We endure self-inflicted pain. Now, let me say this in conclusion. Jesus is the Lord. The Bible declares it, and history affirms it. The question is this. For all of us today, are we going to allow him that place in our life? The choice is yours. We don't make him the Lord. He is the Lord. But we have to allow him to have that reign in our life. If we really realize this morning that Jesus is Lord, then there are 2 things need to happen. First of all, we need to make a choice. What's your choice? I remember when I made the choice. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, I got saved as a high schooler. For 2 years, I did not serve the Lord, although I knew I was saved and God was dealing with me. After I got out of high school early, I decided to go to church. I went to church for 4 Sunday mornings in a row. My heart was open. God dealt with me. And after that 4 Sundays, I realized something. I needed to make a choice. Am I just going to be someone that slips in and out of church, or am I going to be a hardcore Christian and follow God's word? I knew it. And I chose to do that. Have you ever made that choice? Have you ever said, Lord, I don't want to just be a churchian. I want to be a Christian. I really want to allow you to do something wonderful in my life and in the life of my family. The sad thing is, the man's house fell down. It didn't just affect him. I'm pretty sure it affected his family and those he influenced. But I had to choose. And then the next thing is this. We have to change. That choice came with responsibilities. As I sat in church, after I said, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you want, I sat there, I heard things, and I started reading my Bible. I'm like, oop, that's not me. I got to fix that area of my life. And I had to change. By the way, change is good. Change is good for us. When you stop changing, you stop growing. If you're going to lift him up, if we are going to lift him up this year, he's got to have the seat of Lord in my life. Are you going to give that to him today? I challenge you to do that if you've not already done so. You say, well, I've done that a long time ago. Let me ask you this, because I know how I've struggled in the years since then. Sometimes I take some areas back. Are you with me? Lord, you can have my life, and it's like, hey, hang tight. I think I want that area right there. Can I push that button? Maybe there's some areas we're starting to back off. Let's let him have his rightful place this morning. Let's all stand together this morning. Thank you for listening.